It's you're committing to doing something hard over and over again. When you do that and you actually follow through, not only do you start to view yourself that, hey, when there's something hard, I still go for it. I'm a person who does hard things. And second, next time you're faced with a challenge situation that you have to commit to, you're like, actually, I've got a whole history of things that show that when it's hard and I commit, I follow through.
The confidence piece, yeah.
Mm-hmm. You start to trust yourself more. Yeah. And when you trust yourself more, welcome to the Rising Leader Podcast, bringing forth the new wave of rising leadership and helping leaders find purpose, connection, and results. This is your host, founder of Alluviance, Alex Kremer.
Welcome to That One Thing Podcast with Kayleen Duffy. Again, the whole point of this podcast is to inspire you. Hear a story that's really relevant to where you are in your life. Maybe laugh a little bit, maybe share it with someone else. But I'm so excited you all are here with us today. I am honored to introduce my next guest, Alex Kremer. Before I let him introduce himself, I just want to share with you all, this is someone that I felt like I've known for a really long time. I've only met you in person, a month ago or less than that. But I've mentioned this when I started this podcast, it's about community. And this is someone that's already deeply impacted me. So I feel like it's only proper that we have you on this to influence other people. But thanks for being here.
I'm grateful to be here. Even though we met in person a month ago for the first time, we've also known each other for about 4 years. So we've been on a lot of Zoom calls and all that sort of stuff. So we didn't just meet.
Exactly. But to your point, it's felt like we have known each other, but it was just cool to finally meet in person.
Yeah. So, was I taller or shorter than you thought?
That's a good question. I think just about what I thought.
People usually tell me, and I feel a little offended when they say this, they're like, Alex, you're a lot taller than I thought you would be.
No way.
And I'm like,
so you give like short man?
Yeah. And I'm like, wait, what do you mean?
That's interesting.
Yeah. So
did you ask them why?
I felt sensitive when it happened and I was more hurt. Like, I was just more hurt by the statement overall.
It's amazing. Okay. Well, I cannot wait to have you unleash on everyone, but I think it's important to, one, I want you to tell your story, who you are, where you're from. I always like people to understand like, what state were you born in? Like, what did your life look like when Alex was little? But I think, and I'm talking to you all, but Alex is founder and CEO of a community that's already changed my life. And I think that's a lot to say, especially how I felt like a few weeks ago, but is a founder of a community that focuses on sales reps, sales leaders, founders on mastering the craft of sales, but most importantly, the inner game. And we're going to dig all into that because I think I don't really want you to even talk about Alluviance, but I want you to talk about your mindset on why you're here. But who is Alex? Where are you from? Tell us a little bit about yourself. I think it's important to understand like where your career started as well.
Yeah. Yeah. Great question. It's always like a scary question when someone's like, so tell me like, who are you? And it's like, oh man, where can I begin? I was born and raised in San Diego. I had three older sisters growing up. I was the youngest of four. So being like the only boy with three older girls is you learn a lot.
Yeah.
I feel like one of the things I've learned most about women is like the more that I've learned about women, the more I realized I know absolutely nothing.
Crazy having three older sisters and you're still like, whoa, these are complicated.
They're very complicated. But overall, my professional career, which has obviously been parallel, which is like my own personal journey, I've been in sales or leadership for about 15 years. So I started at DocuSign when DocuSign was still a startup. I was at Microsoft for five years. I was at Outreach, for those who know Outreach. Grew that actually. I lived in New York for a couple of years. I actually just moved to Austin about 6 months or so ago. Yeah. But I opened up our office here and I've been through this journey of really what I've always loved is learning and studying the art and the craft of leadership, of sales, how to influence somebody, one could say, but not influence in terms of like a manipulation perspective, but more of like, how do you support people and encourage and guide people to stepping into something greater? I think the main reason why I've enjoyed that journey so much is because that's just simply been the freaking journey that I've been on personally. Yeah. What's interesting about my journey and why I've loved studying it and being a part of communities, and probably at this point I've attended 100 plus retreats, immersions, whatever you want to call it. I'm very big into meditation, into breath work. I do cold plunges, all that sort of stuff that supports one's inner game, that journey inwards, is really because out of necessity of like, I've struggled with it.
Yep.
like quite a bit. And I'm not going to be here on this show and say I've got it all figured out because I'm still very much in my journey. But a part of me has always been, I'd almost call it like an inclination downwards, just sorrow at times. And certain times it's larger than others, but it's like a little sad.
Yeah.
It's funny. I used to say part of me is depressed.
Yeah.
But I've actually reframed it as like, I don't know if a part of me is depressed and maybe more a part of me is just like, got this thing that I carry. While that's been hard and it gets darker at certain times, I've also relied heavily on coaches and therapists. And that's why my morning practice of meditating for an hour every single morning and doing cold plunges is a big part of like, this is how I work through that, be with that, let my light out. You know, as I've just gone on that journey, the best way that I learn that myself is by teaching it.
Yeah.
Is by sharing it with others. You know, you attended one of our retreats about a month or so ago, the community, and those are really powerful. And I'm not up there saying like, guys, I got to tell you everything that we know how to do. And you do this is me just simply sharing, hey, I feel you. I've been there and I know what that's like, that heaviness. And if anything, that's brought me just a greater level of compassion, empathy to say like, hey, yes. And let's talk about how we work through that.
Yeah.
And I love that journey. And I'm constantly freaking studying that game, and certain things are exciting. And I was doing breath work for 3 straight years. And then I've kind of more folded into doing meditation now. And I've started doing just different ways and modalities of doing it. It all comes in different places and time. And so that's what I love doing and being with other people who are on that same path.
We said this earlier, I've known you for roughly 4 years, but felt like you meet someone like you and it's like, I've known him for a while. I've never heard you articulate what you just said the way that you did, kind of just that thing inside. But I think what's so powerful about what you just said is that the way you kind of handle that and grow as yourself, it's through your community, but teaching your community. Mm. And I think that is such a cool reminder that one, and I've told you this, you're so humble in the fact that you lead people and say, you know what, I don't have it figured out. So it's okay that you don't. But the fact that you just kind of reminded me that like when you're struggling or kind of have that little thing inside of you, whatever it is, sometimes teaching, guiding other people is the best medicine.
Mm-hmm.
And not everyone is an innate leader like I think you are, but I think that's such a cool reminder of putting yourself out there and kind of teaching other people and sharing your own journey is actually kind of the best medicine and healing mechanism outside of all the other things that you do.
Yeah. It could be referred to as teaching at times, like sure. Sometimes I get up on stage and I teach a methodology, I teach a way, but mostly it's just me simply sharing it. I'll give an example. I'm part of a lot of different communities, and one of the groups I'm part of is a men's group.
Yeah.
And we study what's called the 4 archetypes of a man, the king, the warrior, the lover, and the magician.
It's interesting.
Very interesting. About a year or so ago, I went through a breakup and it was tough. I was pretty bummed out. Prior to being in this community, I would have gone through that myself.
Yeah,
man, this sucks. And, you know, I would have slept it, you know, whatever one does to lone wolf the sadness that they have, the grief that they have. What I chose to do when that happened is I actually recorded a video of myself sharing what happened. And I posted it in the WhatsApp group of my men's group. And what I found was really interesting. It's like this weight, this grief, this sadness, this thing that was on me actually didn't weigh as heavy.
Yep.
Like I was able to be witnessed by other people. I was able to be seen. And, you know, sure, people liked the thing that I put in the WhatsApp, or some people shot me a text, some people called me just to have my back. And that felt incredible. And that's the value of community for sure. But that's, to me, at least the cherry on top.
Yeah.
Just mostly just to be witnessed. Hey, I'm going through something. And just like, here it is. And one of the statements that I've learned through this men's group is what's coming is going. So what's coming up, if sadness is coming up, it's actually coming up not to be like, I'm going to take you over and ruin your whole day. It's like, actually, I'm just trying to kind of work my way through and treating it like that. Like, oh, I feel anger. What if I didn't suppress the anger as much? And actually, I was like, oh, part of me is anger. What's maybe a way I need to articulate this? Maybe I need to actually just go on a run or get a badass workout. Or maybe I need to present something with somebody else. And that's going to be a hard conversation. But I know that if I stay in connection with that person, it'll actually bring us closer and the value that actually comes from that.
I love it. I feel like stuff's coming up for me.
Should we turn this into a therapy session? Actually, I'm not a licensed therapist, but like.
But I also just love it. I'm like, where are you from? And now we're talking about all this incredible stuff. But I'm not kidding. I was like, whoa, what's coming up? But I like love that example of what you just shared. And I actually want to talk about two things. One, you and I have talked about, the other we haven't. But how do you balance, you in particular, as a leader that is guiding other people, teaching, coaching, guiding, whatever you want to call it? How do you balance the like being seen and the vulnerable, Volney, let's give Sunny a shout out.
Yes.
But how do you balance that with like also like, the trying to see the light, trying to see the positive, practicing gratitude? Because I also look at you as someone that you do a really good job of both of them. But how do you balance that, right? Because the reason I asked this, I feel like we all talked a lot about this at the immersion. And I think I talk a lot about this with friends, but it's like a lot of us grew up in homes that were really loving and supportive and really positive, but not a lot of space for like sadness, not in a bad way, right? I cried. I went through breakups in high school, but it was like, no, like let's push through it.
Mm-hmm.
What is your perspective on the pushing through it, seeing the gratitude? Like silver lining's a real thing. Sometimes you just can't see it.
Yeah.
And you have to be seen. How do you balance all that?
It's a very powerful and strong question. And I'll relate it to this. Our community at our last retreat, we had 70 people there. And it was the biggest one we'd ever thrown. And you think there's imposter syndrome that I get when I go up there? There's some part of me that's like, hey, who am I to even think about teaching this when I'm still figuring this out myself?
Yeah, but that's why people respect you.
There's that part. So I appreciate that. But what I love about it is it actually holds me accountable to an extremely high standard in terms of how I show up.
Yeah.
What I'm really calling forward in people and asking other people to do is to do the work. Pretty simple, like do the work of gaining clarity in terms of, hey, who are you really trying to be? I.e., what's your vision? Like, what's the freaking version of you that wants to come out in this world? And also, what's holding you back?
Yep.
What's the stuff that the imposter syndrome, the self-doubt, the insecurity, the depression, whatever it might be? Like, let's go there. Let's create a safe container to be able to embark upon that journey. But the only reason why I actually feel in integrity with creating a container like that and supporting and guiding people that, because I'm committed to that myself.
Yeah.
I'm here in New York while we're filming this podcast of, I have a retreat this weekend in New York.
Yeah.
Right. So as long as I'm still committed to the work and I'm still saying, hey, I don't have it all figured out and I'm open about that, then I'm okay. Then I feel the ability to do that. But as a leader, it's hard to say, hey, you can trust me. I'm grounded. I trust myself enough to where then you can trust me. As a leader, we want to say, I got it all figured out.
Yep.
Perfect. Look, just follow me. But at the same time, how do you be vulnerable? How to be authentic? How do you be a certain way that people like, oh, they're just like me.
Yeah.
I see myself. Oh, they're doing it and therefore I can do that.
Yeah.
And that's a really nuanced balance.
Couldn't agree more.
Between the two.
Yeah.
It's hard, but I'll give one story that I learned a lot from it. In the very beginning of COVID, I was a sales leader outreach, and during all hands call, right in the like the part of COVID where you're like, man, this is getting rough. Like
6 months in, I think.
It was about that when like the work from home had been extended a couple times when you were just like, we'll be back in the office soon. But it's like, okay, we're 6 months in and there's no end in sight. And we had an all hands, and our CEO got on the all hands. His name was Manny. And he said, I just want to share with everybody. There's 600 people on this call. I just want to share with everybody. I'm struggling. This whole working from home thing, like I miss you guys. I've got a 3-year-old daughter. Like I'm kind of going crazy. I'm struggling.
Yeah.
And he shared it. And my response was not, oh my God, our CEO is struggling. What are we going to do? My response was, oh my God.
Thank God. I bet.
I can relax.
Yeah.
Because I'm also struggling.
Yeah.
And it made me be like, I'll follow you, brother.
Yep.
Like, where are you going? Because like, I want to like, you see me and I see you.
Yeah.
I learned so much from that. Because prior to him saying that, to be honest, I used to be like, I'm great. Everything's great. We're going to do great. We're going to make it through. But on the inside, I was like, I'm struggling.
Yeah.
And from that point forward, I actually started sharing way more openly and authentically with my team when I was needing support. And what's funny is the reps who were on my team, they started to lead me. Claire Johnson, one of the people who co-hosts Alluviance with me, she was my rep at the time. And there'd be conversations where I would be open to just receiving just support and coaching from her. It was a dynamic leadership type of thing. And it just made her feel way more part of the cause.
Of course.
Because I was like, hey, I'm willing to receive leadership from you, even though I have the title.
Yep.
And that's just been my philosophy with everything, with you and all of, like, what do I have to learn from you?
Yeah. I feel like you and I could talk about leadership for days, but to me, that vulnerability piece does create that trust, but ultimately what it does for that dynamic in the overall company and organization is insane, mm-hmm. right? Like, to your point, what you said about Clara feeling like she was a part of the cause, like, we could talk about this for days too, but it's like, do all of us want to, like, die being the best sales rep at our company? Probably not, right? But if you feel like you're a part of a bigger impact, like whether it's mentoring your boss or shifting the way people think about leadership and shifting the way people think about vulnerability, that's a cause that you want to be like, okay, she was the number one rep, but then she did some shit. She did some stuff at that company that really impacted change. I think I look back at my notes from the incredible event that you all hosted, but it was like, vulnerability builds trust, and vulnerability is the strongest thing that you can do. And I've never heard that story. I mean, I feel like I've heard stories of Manny and the outreach days, right? Because I think what you all did there,
mafia.
Yeah, I was gonna say, it's like a caller mafia. But what you all did there was incredible, but I didn't know that he did that. Mm-hmm. It also exposes, I think, why some of you all that work there are the way that you all are in some capacity, that, like, I feel like you've led from that way for a while, but that it's okay to just share struggle.
One of the things that I feel like people are looking for really more than ever right now, we've talked about this before, like, we're in this unique time. It's like we're in an inflection point, that there's a renaissance happening. There's like a new paradigm that we're entering into. And what I feel like people are looking for more than ever is two things that will truly, like, just make them be like, oh, I've got it. First off, they're looking for community. Mm-hmm. That's pretty easy. And community is such a stupid buzzword these days. But what I truly believe a community is, it's a group of people working towards something bigger and stronger together.
Yep.
There's a shared mission. And sure, when somebody's struggling, you have each other's back. But what I think is more importantly about a community is, there's a call forward. There's a, hey, Kayleen, like, with love, like, step up. You can do better.
Yeah.
And I see in you what maybe you don't see in yourself right now.
Yeah.
That's one of the things that people are needing. So it's community, number one. And number two, what people are wanting, meaning. Give me a freaking purpose.
Yep.
What's the larger thing? Because, like, me just making a shit ton of money, me just getting more stuff and whatever it might be, achieving. Why am I not fulfilled from that? So two things, community, meaning. You can find that.
I don't know if I shared this story with you, but this past year was really fruitful for me with sales, and it was really cool and awesome.
That's a nice way to say you were the number one rep of your company.
But
shameless plug.
I don't know if I told you that one of the larger deals that I closed, of course, there was a lot of emotion around when it closed and it was awesome. But the next day, I took myself out to dinner by myself with tears in my eyes. And I was like, what actually makes you happy? Because that didn't feel like it, you thought it would. I think, to your point, if success isn't tied to meaning, like, it's pretty empty. And you just reminded me, it's like, okay. And I actually think your community does a good job of this. Kurt Claus in particular, I'll give him a shout out. But it's like, when you're working on a goal or you're working on a deal, what is the greater purpose of that? And again,
yeah,
your whole mission, I'm not saying your whole mission, but a lot of the work that we're working on right now as a part of this past immersion is like, who are you, right? Mm-hmm. So when you go to close a deal, what's that for? Is it to just say, like, I made a fat commission, it's sitting in my pocket? No. And I think it's so cool that you've encouraged all of us to say, like, okay, what's that new name? What's that new vision? What is that meaning? And I think it is such a cool reminder, like something I weirdly needed this week, that it's like, all these little things are awesome, all these goals, all these achievements, but without that meaning and bigger purpose, they feel empty.
Yeah. It goes into, you either can provide meaning in the product or the service that you are providing, which is awesome. And if you have a great product to do that, that's great. And sometimes you need to really take it one step further. It's like, if I'm selling a product that maybe doesn't directly have the most incredible impact, you can say, like, hey, but this will then allow people to do this. People will do this. Where I also think people underestimate where they can provide an immense amount of meaning or just essentially receive a lot of meaning and fulfillment from is not necessarily in what you're doing, or let's apply it to salespeople, what you're selling, but specifically how you show up and the frequency that you're actually coming from. Because one of the things that I learned from one of my teachers, a guy named Rob Renahan, and he's actually whose retreat I'm here this weekend for, he talks a lot about stepping into your authentic self and truly owning the unique expression of yourself. And what's interesting is when you think about the vibration that's coming off of you, one of the most potent vibrations, the strongest, the ones that people feel the most, that impact other people's fields, is authenticity. Mm-hmm. If you're truly coming from that state, that actually has the largest, wow, you can really feel this person. When you're on Zoom calls, right? When you're meeting clients, when you're meeting prospects, whatever it might be, you have an immense amount of impact simply by, did you show up and come from that way and actually open your heart and actually create this like, hey, I'm present with you.
Yeah.
As I talk to you, like, I'm like, yo, Kayleen, like, what's truly up?
Yeah.
Like, how are you? And I ask that question, how are you? Like, no, seriously, like, how are you, dog?
Yeah.
I actually do feel like people are saying all over, like, oh, the world is ending. What's happening? You know, there's more crisis than ever. Sure, there's some scary stuff going on right now. Stuff that we're like, that a lot of opportunity, but a lot of uncertainty with it.
Yep.
But I do think there is a large amount of people who are deepening the trust with themselves, who are opening their heart, who are, let's hypothetically say, raising their consciousness, whatever you want to call it. But there are people who are bringing more meaning, more purpose, more good vibes.
Yeah.
One can say, you're doing it with this podcast, right? There's more people doing this than we give ourselves credit for.
Yep.
That I actually am like, yeah, like there's a lot of uncertainty that are the future, but like there's also some good shit going on that I think we're generally moving in a good direction.
I couldn't agree more. Something I want to go back to that you had mentioned earlier, just because I think it would be cool to hear the definition, and I'm taking a little bit of a pivot. How do you define what the inner game is?
Mm. Yeah, the inner game, I view it as two sides of the coin. The first one is what's the truest identity of yourself that really wants to come through. We all were born with different situations, different opportunities, different challenges, different families, whatever you want to call it, that have piled on a lot of stuff. But there's this unique thing inside of all of us that I truly believe, if you were to say, hey, what's the mission you were put on earth to do? And what's the version of you that does that? That's how I view the unique essence of you that wants to come. So what's that version? But then on the flip side of that, we have all the things that are holding us back. I'm not good enough. I don't know. I woke up sad again. That's a story that goes through my mind every once in a while. It's not, whatever it might be, I'm insecure. What are people going to think? The stuff that's preventing us from actually achieving it. So the inner game is actually, are you willing to venture in there and to say, hey, what does actually want to come out? And also what's holding me back? And let's work with that. At times, it's really important for you to say, man, I'm so excited about my vision and I'm so excited about the impact I get to have. And that plays a very important thing that actually drives a lot of execution. If I'm really excited by the impact I can make on all these people, guess what? I'm going to wake up earlier. I'm going to work harder. So that's an important thing to have. Your vision is really, really important. And also at times, if you're really stuck, if you're really like hitting a ceiling, it's like, hey, I think I need to go and like create some space for myself. I need to grieve.
Yeah.
I gotta shed some tears. I feel a lot of emotions and I haven't stopped and put my phone in a different room and gone and just actually felt my body where I feel sad. For me, for example, like a lot of times my emotions, my sadness, it comes like right in my sternum, right in my lower chest. That's a lot of times when I just scan my body. I was like, oh, there's that. And I'll go and I'll sit on a cushion. You can sit wherever you want to. And I'll simply breathe in that area and out that area.
Yeah.
And I'll try to actually feel what's here.
Yep.
And at times that brings up stuff. Sometimes I scream in a damn pillow.
Yeah.
Because it needs to get out of me.
Yeah.
Just the ability, the inner game is, are you going there? And are you playing on both these sides and finding the balance between the two?
Yeah. I think that's really such a cool definition. And I think, again, just knowing the balance of playing with the what's coming up and kind of your vision, your purpose, like this is who Kayleen is, but also with, you said this a few weekends ago, but just like what's coming out is meant to come up. And it's like, how do you play with those things? I think that's incredible.
Mm-hmm.
It's really cool. But there's a lot of fear that comes around that. It's like, wait, I have to, one, how to manage those on a day-to-day basis, but understand how they can work together. Because I think a lot of those are so tied to one another in a weird way. This question's twofold, and I've asked you this one of these questions before, but I want you to say it
first. No repeat questions, Kayleen.
No, this is a good one, though. So I want to know, throughout your entire journey, and it's, I like how you said this, you were like, you always kind of knew there was something there you could probably like figure out what was going on. Like you thought it was depression, but it was just kind of this thing. How did this exploratory journey start for you? Mm. Actually, it's a threefold question. I just fibbed. So when and how did it start? My second question is, what was the pivotal part in the journey where you were like, this is life-changing, one, but two, I need to teach others?
Yeah.
And then my third question is that I've asked you, when does the work and journey stop?
I feel like you already know the answer to that third question.
I know, but I want
but
you
to we'll tie it in at the end.
Because I loved your answer.
So depression and sadness and stuff like that is actually not just a part of me, it's a part of my family. So I have three sisters, my dad's side and my mom's side, everybody's had this weight that they've carried. And for me, for much of my life, and my dad actually taught me this. He said, Alex, if somebody asks you how you're doing, you say, I'm always great. I'm always great. Because he's like, you'll first hear yourself say that and brainwash yourself into thinking that you're doing great. And the other person will hear it and they'll start to feel great. So people used to ask me how I was doing. I used to say that even when I wasn't. And that stuff that didn't feel good, if I tried to convince myself, it would be like me pushing it down. And I'd put on this face. I'd put on this mask. I'm always great. You see, look, I'm doing so great at my job. I'm making more money than I've ever made. Look how many followers I have on my Insta. I got this many likes, whatever it might be, right? I'm so great. And what it caused is it eventually caught up to me. In 2017, I was living in San Francisco. I was working at Microsoft. And I was at the top of my game. I'd been promoted faster than anybody in my hiring class. I was making more money than I'd ever made before. I was number one on my sales team out of about 15 or so people, and each one of them were like in their 40s or 50s. I was like in a young buck, just like, wow, I'm great. And on the inside, I was like deeply, deeply struggling. And I was living in this apartment in San Francisco in Nob Hill. There was one day that I woke up and I was like, I don't know if I can get up today. I always had to like convince myself, remember, Alex, you're great.
Every day, yep.
And it's like this energy that like I had to like find from something. And eventually it was just like, bro, I got no more gas in the tank to do that. And it's literally like out of a scene from a movie, like my shades were pulled shut. There was like trash on the floor of my apartment and I'm just there and it's like 11:30 in the morning. Yep. I went into like, it was the deepest I'd ever been. And you start to have those thoughts that you don't want to have, the suicidal thoughts and stuff like that. My oldest sister, Holly, she's like, not just my oldest sister, she's one of truly the best people in this world. I trust her so much because she knows that journey.
Yeah.
And she's just been such a great guide for me from her own personal experience. Yeah. And she recommended for me to read the book, The Way of the Peaceful Warrior. And that just started me down the journey of, hey, what is this thing that I'm dealing with here? And let's actually be honest about it. I started doing like a tiny bit of meditation, but like nothing serious. I was like, let's try this Headspace app and try 5 minutes every once in a while. And that was right about the time when I got a message from a guy we both know named Zachary Wagner. And he said in this message that, do you feel like you're essentially, the essence was doing what you feel like you're truly supposed to in this world? Or do you feel like you're actually struggling? It nailed me right in the freaking forehead because here I was from the outside looking in, crushing it. And on the inside, I'm like, something's wrong here.
Yeah.
And that brought me to my very first immersion, my 3-day experience. I ended up joining that community. Over that year, we went on this week-long trip to Guatemala. In Guatemala, I had been starting to get a little bit more intimate with that feeling of like, what's wrong with me? It wasn't like, I was almost like, hey, all right, I'm dealing with something. And I was bringing just an inquiry of like, what is this thing?
Yeah.
I need to work with this. And I remember talking to one of the leaders there. His name was Michael Brabant, like a guru-esque type of guy. And I was like, I'm dealing with this thing. He's like, where do you feel it? I said, I think I feel it in my heart and chest area. He's like, cool. We had 5 days in Guatemala. He's like, for the rest of this time, I want you to focus on breathing in through your heart and out through your heart every second, whether you're listening to content, whether you're talking to somebody, whether you're eating food. And I essentially was like, okay. And I did it. And I remember the breath in a way, like it was like, imagine it's like there's this like knot right here. The breath almost like took the knot and kind of loosened it. It wasn't so tight. And it brought me really, really present. When somebody's talking, I was like, man, I'm like freaking here.
That's so
with
cool.
You. I'm listening to you. I shared at the very end of the immersion. I was like, guys, like I feel this is awesome. I got this thing. And they're like, cool. Do you want to commit to anything? I was like, it's powerful to commit to something in front of 50 people. And I said, I'll commit to meditating for 365 days in a row, really focusing on this thing. And I did. Certain days it was 30 minutes. Certain days it was 30 seconds before I went to bed to get it in. And that ended up taking me on an actual meditation retreat and really going there. And that meditation retreat was one of the first places that I really sobbed.
Interesting.
I'd cried before, but it wasn't a good thing for me to cry. And it was also hard for me to get to.
Yeah.
My protectors in me were like, no, crying is, don't do that. We don't want to go there.
Yeah.
And finally, I was able to like release this thing that was on me And it opened my heart. And I ended up attracting an awesome relationship for a period of time from that. And I ended up joining outreach at that time too, and started my journey of leadership, because finally this thing I was carrying, I was finally like, oh, I can like follow this, just whatever feels true to me. That took me on so many more retreats and receiving so much more coaching and different modalities and different things like that. Now, obviously bringing what I've learned through all these different ways to the Illuviance community, bringing it to tech sales professionals who want to improve at the craft and also really go on the inner game. And to answer your final question, when does the work stop? I don't remember what my answer to you last time was, but
I'll tell you if it's the same.
So I'm a very spiritual person. I believe in a larger power, and I love,
same.
I grew up in a church. I'm also Jewish. I have Jewish blood in me, and I also really love Buddhism, and I love all of it. It all goes towards something powerful.
Couldn't agree more.
There's this really cool book called Many Lives, Many Masters.
Yep. I've never read it.
Oh, it's essentially this psychiatrist does hypnotherapy for past life regressions and helps you heal from stuff that happened in past lives. When I read it, I was like, this is true. There's past lives. That's the truth. I started getting more into Buddhism and studying like different karma and how to work through that karma and how, you know, the whole purpose of this life is to work towards it. So the work never stops. And I also believe that we have future lives and previous lives, and that, man, this life, I have a great opportunity to work through and with my karma and whatever is actually here, whatever circumstance I was brought here. And I also know I'm doing work, not just for this life, but for my future lives too, until whatever culminates into that, which I'm very excited to figure out what that ends up being. But the work never stops, not just in this lifetime.
Yeah.
I believe. Was that my answer last time?
Yes. But what I also liked what you said, which I think it felt really good for like the present me of like, the work shouldn't stop because you're continuing to grow and evolve. But like by doing the work, whether it's therapy, coaching, immersions, books you read, community, you said something along the lines of, is oftentimes people are like this. Not everyone has super high highs and low lows, but you're like, the work just makes life just feel a little bit more like this. Mm-hmm. And that really meant a lot to me, right? Because I think I can experience crazy highs and like, you can't stop me, right? But then the next day I'm like, whoa. Mm-hmm. What's happening? To me, now we have a really cool double answer. Doing the work just makes life feel a little breezier. The good, the bad, the ugly. But I love what you're saying. It's like there's a greater impact long, long term of doing the work. Mm-hmm. Because I think, and I said this to you, I'm like, God, this feels so exhausting. These immersions, you're like on a high and you're with all these incredible people. And then you leave and you're like, whoa, this is real life. None of these other people get it. That's kind of how I felt a little bit. It,
very much so,
But I think it's such a cool reminder that there's many different reasons why the work matters.
My dad spoke for about 5 minutes or so at the immersion. It was a great dream of mine to have that happen. I grew up watching him speak. So he was a speaker. And one of the things he said is like, you have these high points over the weekend and then you go home and your refrigerator's broken.
Literally.
Right. Life hits you in the face. Speaking to that graph, it's like, we're always going up and to the right a little bit. What I found is that the more I've done the work, the more awareness I've brought to when I'm not feeling it.
Yep, I love that.
The downs that we experience so often, they might not go as deep. And even if they do start going deep,
you can catch it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because there's simply an awareness of like, oh, I need to nourish myself. Maybe I should stop drinking alcohol. Maybe I should stop smoking pot. Maybe I should get more sleep. Maybe whatever it might be. So it's just that if you can lengthen the distance in between when something happens and your reaction to it, and that tiny part of awareness right here, that is one of the most powerful things that you can do, because then you can start to say, I'm going to make a choice.
Yeah.
What I do here.
I love that.
This episode is brought to you by Illuviance. Illuviance is helping sales professionals and sales leaders master the craft of sales by transforming the inner game. Last year, we threw over 4 retreats and helped over 150 tech sales professionals, leaders, and founders. And next, we got it going on May 3rd through 5th in the beautiful Austin, Texas area. So make sure you apply to alluviance.co to check it out for more.
Something I want to dig deeper into, because I feel like even in, I keep saying it's the short time I've known you. I've known you for a while. But you, to me, I feel like have tried a lot of different ways to nourish yourself. And I love that. The work kind of helps you check yourself, kind of maybe like cut off the decline. But what is your like, I hate the way I'm going to ask this question. Well, like, what's like your quick fix, like favorite go-to nourishment tool? Quick answer, like go-to.
Cold plunge is always one of my favorites.
Yep.
I live in Austin and it will start getting hot there over the summer. So cold plunge is always great. Kind of shocks your body into like reset, hard reset, or one round of Wim Hof. Yep. So 30 breaths in through the mouth, out through the mouth. It's more of like a rhythmic sort of thing. And you just feel the stillness of your body. If I don't have too much time, especially if I'm about to get like on a big scary call, I'm like, oh God, I'm like freaking out about this. Let me just do one round of Wim Hof for 2 minutes and all right, back.
I will tell you the cold situation. New York City isn't like the best place for cold plunges, but this cold shower thing that I'm on this.
You've been doing cold showers every single day. That's right.
I'm like yelling in the shower at myself, like, you got this. Like there is something really, and I'm like a baby. I'm doing like 30, I'm not doing what Kurt and all of them are doing, like bathing in cold. I'm doing like a 30 second, like in it, fully immersed. And then I'm like, all right, I need to like actually wash my hair.
So then you turn it to hot.
I do.
Okay. That sounds, I'm personally not a proponent of cold showers.
Yeah.
Cause I love a nice warm shower.
Same. It makes me happy. Yes. But there is something to be said about that excitement I have for 30 seconds. I mean, I like almost should record when I'm yelling in the shower, but it's like,
do you just like full screen? Imagine you're waking up your neighbors.
It's like a pump up speech. It's actually really funny, but
yeah, please record yourself just screaming in the shower. That would be great for the world. Actually,
I'll share with the group because it's very funny. Like it's just like you got this girl. Like feels like a coach, like an Alex Toussaint, but I'm my own Alex Toussaint, which is kind of.
Cool. I think Alex Toussaint and you could have a true soul connection.
Same, both of us like sister rides. Well, I love that.
Well, one of the things I commend you for of doing the cold plunges is. Doing a cold plunge, excuse me, or a cold shower, it's a hard thing. And it's something that most likely, unless you're a crazy person, there's a part of you that's like, yeah, I don't really feel like that, especially winters in New York City.
Yeah. I mean, the other day I was like, why would I do that? But I committed to it.
Exactly. You committed to it. It's you're committing to doing something hard over and over again. When you do that and you actually follow through, not only do you start to view yourself that, hey, when there's something hard, I still go for it. That's a powerful, that I'm a person who does hard things. And second, next time you're faced with a challenge situation that you have to commit to, you're like, actually, I've got a whole history of things that show that when it's hard and I commit, I follow through.
The confidence piece, yeah.
Mm-hmm. You start to trust yourself more. Yeah. And when you trust yourself more, other people start to trust you.
Yeah. I think it's such a cool reminder. And I do think what has been shared with me about the value of the cold shower, it's like nothing can really stop you in the morning if you're doing hard stuff. But I think it's just a reminder, like whether it's a cold plunge or breath work or like, I don't know, even doing that scary thing at work of like, I signed myself up for something at work that it's so intimidating to me. And I'm like, once this is over, I'm going to be able to do anything, you know? Mm. And it's just a reminder that that's...
Well, now you got to tell us what's that scary.
It's not even that scary. I like raised my hand to create like a CTO network in Atlanta. And it's like, wait, our CTO is involved, high visibility. And I'm like, I didn't think this was going to get that much attention. And it does. And I have to make sure we have enough people there and I have to make sure everyone's happy. So, but it's cool, right? It's today I was like, you could throw the towel. And I literally was thinking this. I could say like, hey, maybe we try in a few months.
Mm.
But I was like, I'm just going to go through this. And if it isn't as good as we thought it was, like we can learn from it and we can say we did it.
Mm-hmm.
But how many times in a day are you like, maybe I just throw it in? But it's a reminder, Alex, I just love what you said. Then you have a whole Rolodex of like, oh, remember that time you didn't give up and you did that hard thing?
Mm-hmm.
Remember that year you did meditation? It wasn't that bad.
Mm-hmm.
I needed to hear that because I literally was going to Slack these people later. Like, do we want it? Are we sure?
There's a part of me that wants to say, and I don't know how motivational this is, but yeah, sometimes you got to toss the talent. Sometimes you got to be like, you know what? It's just not quite working.
I actually like this.
And it's draining me.
Yep.
And it's actually preventing me from showing up in a way that I want to show up. And it's starting to bleed into other areas. And so it's the fact that you did it. You said, hey, I'm willing to go for this, to commit to this thing. I also am aware enough and in my own sovereignty that, hey, I tried and it didn't work. Let's stop, reset, figure out maybe a new method, whatever it might be, and then go again. So I'm not going to be David Goggins saying, power through, grit, you can do it. Sometimes it's like, chill out.
Yeah, it's so true though. Yeah, Goggins.
Take a freaking breath.
Yeah, no, it's true. All right, you're so humble. I want you to brag on yourself for a second in two ways. One, what is something, and I kind of want it to be like a gut answer. What is something you're like so ungodly proud of?
You know, I remember one of the first immersions that I went to, one of our fellow mentors, teachers, Ben Skemper, was up on stage leading a retreat. I remember thinking, and I was probably like 24 or so at the time, being like, man, I wasn't thinking I want to be Ben Skemper. I was thinking, I want to be of the ability to be able to do this one day. Yeah. I want to have studied it and have credibility and integrity that, oh, that person should be up there. That person has been doing it and have the confidence to do that. And just about a year ago, I threw my first immersion. There was four people there.
I almost went to it.
You did almost go to it. We had a couple of conversations. Yeah. Divine timing. You were meant to go to another one. I just remember after that first time, I was like, oh man, this is it. Like, I'm meant to do it. And to now see where we're at today, you know, 70 people at the last immersion, there's 36 people in our year-long community. Every single day, I get to have these incredible conversations with people or do our weekly calls, whatever it might be, or be part of our awesome Slack of like seeing people and guiding people to essentially doing what I care about, what I'm simply journeying on too, and seeing the results of people, seeing what you are doing, the new identity you're claiming, seeing people close the deals that they didn't think were possible, seeing people develop the relationship, changing their stuff with their kids, people accomplishing what they need to, and also going and doing the harder work. I feel proud of myself for sure for that. And I also just feel gratitude. I think that's what pride feels like to me, is like gratitude.
Yeah, like, I felt that.
Man, this is the coolest thing that this is what I'm doing now. I wake up and I'm doing exactly what I want to be doing. And I have challenging days, straight up. This past week, actually, like, it's been hard. I posted about it on LinkedIn today. I was like, it's been tough. Like, I've been traveling just.
Yeah.
But I still feel like even through the muck, I'm like, yeah, but this is way better than anything I could be doing, which makes the muck that much more worth it.
I love that. I'm proud of you. And I was hoping you were going to say that, but I can't control what comes out of your mouth because it's incredible. I don't want you to give all of your secrets away. I feel like this is also like a free coaching session for for how many other people watch this, but give like the minute. What is Alluviance? Mm. Just quick teaser for people.
Yeah.
What is the mission? And I always say this, tell them where to find you.
Yeah. Alluviance, so we are a community of sales professionals, sales leaders and founders, really with the goal of mastering the craft of sales by transforming the inner game. We talked about inner game being both the vision of who you are as well as what's holding you back.
Yep.
The essence of it is there's a movement happening. There's a new model that's blossoming, that's unfolding, that's being asked of many people in this world.
Yep.
It's one that gives people community, gives people meaning. And also to achieve, like, I'm still about making money, but I know that that's merely a byproduct of me saying I'm doing something good and I'm good at it. And I'm curious to continue to learn more about it. Just being surrounded by people journeying on that path, I think is the most profound thing that one can be doing. You want a definition of Alluviance? Have I ever told you this?
I think so, but go. I need to hear it again.
Alluviance was a word before it was a company. It was like the rallying cry of my sales team when I was at Outreach. And Alluviance means to be in a state of flow as you are learning and growing and developing. So you're not yet at your peak, but you're like, ooh, I think I'm starting to get it. So I can be in a state of Alluviance. I can feel alluviant. I could be alluviating.
Nice.
You know what I'm saying? Like, there's a whole.
Yeah.
But the whole purpose is like, are you finding the flow of I'm getting better?
Yeah. I love that. It's so inspiring. I think the word itself is inspiring, but I think what you're creating, like, I feel proud to have you on this because I already know the impact it's had on me. Like, truly, it's kind of wild. And I feel like, again, life, you have ebbs and flows. And I had it wrong. You did say it's this and up and to the right, but there's a clear impact of it. I think the way that you've inspired like growth and wanting to go deeper with the community that you've built just feels a little bit different. It's a safer way to look at growth. Like, I think with growth, we oftentimes, or I kind of grew up thinking like it's just getting better and achieving. Like, actually growth sometimes is taking a massive step back, taking a big deep breath and being like, whoa, you know, there's something there that needs to be looked at, which I think is incredible. And I think that you have just created an incredible community. I think I want to close with this. This is a heavy hitter, and I want you to like rip into this. What is the end goal for Alex? And associated with that end goal, what do you want to be remembered as or for?
That's a really good last question. The end goal for me is to essentially lead this movement. And, you know, one of the things that my dad said, he was at the retreat and a few people came up to him and said, like, hey, what's it like feeling, seeing your son, you know, speak on stage? And one thing that he said that I love and respect for him, he says, there's something powerful to see your child be better than you. And I say that with humility because my dad is incredible, but I'm here to help other people tap into the unique expression of themselves and be their own individual greatness. The thing that I'm really curious about right now that I feel like I'm just getting hit in the face again and again is, how does one both achieve, create, accomplish, build, do, and also complement that with, man, but I'm also really enjoying this current moment.
Yep.
I'm experiencing the love and gratitude right here. Figuring out kind of the sacred third between those two, that thing that we can experience that, is really what I am trying to figure out myself, and also what I'm hoping other people will be figuring out. And the end goal for me, I mean, first off, I can't wait to be a father. I want to have my tribe, my kids, who I'm just get to invest all my time and energy to. I have a podcast as well. And if I could just have my podcast and speak and coach people.
You're a happy man.
I'm happy.
And have your little tribe, yeah.
Yeah, and have my tribe that, like, my lifestyle just supports doing exactly what I want to. And, like, I'm actually seeing people experience, you know, more joy, more love, dive deeper into the work. And if I can do that and simply be an embodiment of that myself, I'm going to feel good about that.
I love that. So wrapping that up, I think that's incredible. And I see that end goal for you. Like, I feel like this is a dark question, but like when someone's speaking about you and you're like living your other lives, like what are they saying about you?
It's a nice way of saying once you're dead.
My one friend, I interviewed her and she's like, I hate this question. I'm like, okay, fine. What do you want to be known for next week?
What do I want people to say about me when I'm on to my next lives? You know, somebody asked me the other day, Alex, who are you without your vision? Who are you without Alluvians? And I said, two main things. I'm a lover. Like, I just love people. Like, I love you. I love people, and I'm playful.
Yeah.
I get a little like twinkle in my eye. And also, like, I kind of want to fuck with you. Like, I want this little elbow in the ribs. You're like, oh yeah, really? Big guy. Okay, here we go. You know, and I love that. That's a zesty side.
Yeah. Oh, I love that.
Yeah. If people say he's a lover and he's playful, like, that feels good to me.
I love that answer though, because I, of course, hope that you lead this movement and it takes off, but like, I always go back to what I said. I don't want people to be like, you know what? Keeleen Duffy was the best seller at Breeze. Mm. Thank God for that. Like, no, she was good. Mm-hmm. She was kind. And I think that's such a pure, incredible answer. And like, I can tell you, you're playful. Like, and you are a lover. Like, I feel like, I don't know. I just, the way that like, even at the event, you're just like, I love you to me and to other people. It felt super genuine, right? Mm. Like, it just felt good and it felt true. And I think that's incredible.
Mm. I'm just feeding off your energy.
Alex, you're the best. You have to tell everyone, where can they find you? Where can they find Alluvians? What's the IG handle? What's you, your LinkedIn presence is incredible. Like, tell them where.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Yeah, LinkedIn, Alex Kremer, alluvians.co, A-L-L-U-V-I-A-N-C-E. Check out Alluvians on Instagram. We've been doing big things on our Instagram, really been feeding that.
Yep.
Yeah, just shoot me a note.
Yep.
Alex at alluvians.co. I'm here.
Well, y'all, thank you for tuning in to That One Thing hosted by me, Keleen Duffy. You can find us on all the places podcasts are held, but I am so honored you were a part of this today. Again, Alex is someone that is a part of my crew now. And I think it was so important, honestly, like for me to make this a thing, for people to see what was impacting me. But again, this was like a free coaching call. But I think the one thing that like stood out so deeply to me is the reminder around vulnerability and how it creates trust. But when something's coming up, share it. Be seen, because that's the only way that you're going to kind of heal that. So those are the two things that I'm just like, this has to be shared. But thank you all so much for joining, and catch us next time.
Peace, y'all. Thanks for listening to the Rising Leader Podcast. Make sure you hit that follow button so you get notified every time a new episode releases. If you know someone who wants to take their lives and their career to the next level, send them this episode so we can all rise together. For more information, check out alluvians.co. We'll see you next time. And in the meantime, keep letting it flow. This episode is brought to you by Alluvians. Alluvians is helping sales professionals, sales leaders, and founders master the craft of sales by transforming the inner game. In the past 12 months, we've thrown 4 retreats and impacted over 100 tech sales leaders, founders, on not just getting better at the craft, but really working on the inner game, gaining clarity on their vision, and also overcoming what's holding them back. The best part is you'll be doing it in an incredible community of high performers who are also trying to do the exact same thing. Our next immersion is going to be this May 3rd through 5th in the beautiful Austin, Texas. And make sure you check out alluvience.co to apply there. Can't wait to see you.